your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments with Matt Geiger. We are going to continue our focus on the precious metals segment here as we are chatting with Richard Postma, a.k.a. Doc. Now, Doc, I want to recap right now at least where we stand when it comes to the moves in precious metals and the underlying metal stocks. Now, I've talked a lot about this in the last week or two where the stocks have been greatly underperforming and the metal is still maybe trending lower but not getting hit nearly as hard as the underlying stocks. Quick little recap here. We are recording this later in the day on Thursday, but if we recap what's happened in July here, I found it very interesting in terms of it feels like July has been a very bad month for the metals and metals stocks, but compare that to June. June was way worse. And now comparing what's happened to gold. Gold, as we're recording this, just this month is actually up a little over 1.75%. So it's actually up for the month. But you look at something like GDX, GDX is down about 1.5%, and GDXJ is down about 5.5%. So again, the stocks greatly underperforming the metal, but it sure doesn't feel like this month that gold is actually up. I know it's marginal, but that actually surprised me when I started recapping just what's happened in the last couple months. What's your takeaway from this environment, Doc?
Yeah, I think you hit it perfectly, Corey. And, you know, these poor stocks, some of them in the precious metal wants to stay fairly up there, you might say. But the stocks are just, you know, getting hammered. And that tells me that we probably are going to look at a little bit more movement down in the precious metals themselves in the next couple, 3-4 months. And because we're actually moving into a trading range when you look at the monthly Bollinger Bands, and they're starting to even out a little bit. And that's starting to tell you that we are now settling into an area that we're probably going to be in for some period of time. And it's a shame that the stocks comparatively have gotten hurt a lot worse, especially GDXJ, than the metals themselves. But I think it just speaks to the fact that the metals are going to come down. Now, when they do, sure, the stocks might suffer a little bit more, but I think then you're going to see a reverse where the metals on a comparative basis get hurt more than the stocks.
Well, Doc, I'm sure that's not going to be music to anybody's ears that's investing in the precious metal space, but it's always nice to look at the charts. And as we were discussing off mic, sometimes it's best to take the emotions and the fundamentals out of it temporarily and just look at the price action and see what it's telling you. So what is the price action telling you when you look at the monthly charts for gold and silver? What are you seeing, and where would a good support level be that you would think, hey, this may be an area, or what would you be looking for technically for a support level to come in?
Well, everybody wants to talk about that double bottom, but the problem with that double bottom they were talking about in gold is that it was put together very quickly. And generally, when you see double bottoms like that, it's not necessarily a great sign. It's a great sign when you have another move down, and then you really get a double bottom. And I think we're going to see that. I think we're going to move back down towards 1700, probably the upper 1600s, and we're going to really challenge that intraday or intra-month double bottom at 1673. I think that'll probably happen. Now, the discouraging thing is that you're having these stocks get hit so hard. Then you go back to March of 2020, and we got way back, the gold price got way down into the 1400s. Well, we're not going to see that. But unfortunately, the stocks, a lot of them are going to double bottom as far as their months, their March 2020 lows. Some won't, but a lot of these stocks will. And I think you can expect it, especially in the JDXJ patterns and in those stocks, not so much in the other bigger category of stocks. They'll move down toward a double bottom, but they might not reach that double bottom of theirs, but some of these smaller companies will.
Well, Doc, you bring up an interesting point when you bring up the March 2020 low, because that was a little bit unique in that it was a pandemic crash. And like you mentioned, gold got down to $1,450. Silver was down around $13. I mean, as of the day of this recording, we're at $1,800 gold and $25 silver. But the miners, and in particular the ones that are not in the GDX or not in the GDXJ, some of the junior miners that a lot of the folks probably listening to this hold have been smashed down 30% lately, 40%, some even 50%. Off their highs, and that's not even counting the fact that we were already correcting from August of last year, before we had that March double bottom and had the little lift in April and May. So the action in the junior miners, it may be indicating lower prices in the metal, but these miners are trading like we're back at $14.50 or $13 silver. So why do you think there's such a huge disconnect in the juniors compared to what we're seeing in the mid tiers and the seniors that are held in those indexes? Where could this disconnect be coming from?
Well, some of them are actually paying dividends, which I guess is a positive. And people realize that when we get the next big move up, as they're going to see it in the big and mid-tier producers, actually, and that these smaller companies will once again will lag. And so I think a lot of people are still holding some of their positions because of that. They're shedding themselves of the explorers and even if they come in with good news right now, it's not impacting them hardly at all. But I do feel that the next time we move up, I think that's finally going to be the time that we really see some good moves in these stocks. Whereas it's been very discouraging over the last few years where you're seeing higher gold prices and even silver prices, but yet these stocks don't respond. But a lot of these companies are being run more responsibly now. And if they continue this, the next big move, I think we're going to see some really great moves in some of these companies.
So the question being, Doc, when are we going to see that next big move? Because it seems like every bounce we've had over that last 11 months has been sold into, unfortunately.
Well, you're farming, as I mentioned before, you're starting to farm with the Bollinger Bands on the monthly chart. You're starting to farm a trading range. And way back in, when we had that move down in 2011 and 12, gold lost almost 50% of its value. Well, this time, we're not going to see that. We're going to see probably it move down and lose maybe 30 to 35% at most, I feel. And so it's going to be held up pretty well. And I think we're going to enter a trading pattern here. You might as well write off the end of the year, I believe. And I think 2022 is going to be a stabilization year. And I think the earliest we can hope for where we get the really start of a big move is going to be 2023.
Doc, what's going to predicate that big move? Because we've been hearing a lot that the metals, to get going again, especially precious metals, need a market correction. And I even heard you in the last couple of weeks saying that maybe the market is setting up for a correction. We saw a bit of a correction, but that was on Monday, and then the markets were bought back immediately, again, just more or less confirming that whole buy-the-dip mentality for these markets. Is that still what precious metals bugs need to be holding on hope for, is that market correction coming that will drive the investors back into gold?
I wouldn't count on that, Corey, because if we get an initial sell-off, if we get a good sell-off in the conventional markets, I don't think it's going to help us for a while, because there's going to be real fear that starts if we get a significant sell-off, because I think we get a significant sell-off in housing as well. And I think, in fact, that's peaking already. The home builder sentiment is horrible right now, and also the home buying sentiment is not good. And I think we are peaking. I think that almost $1,000 drop that one day is sending a message right now. And as I've said before, in the last couple of months, that MACD on the monthly charts for the conventional markets is at areas I haven't seen in multi-years. And that's telling you something. It can't go much higher here. And I think it's starting to signal a topping pattern here in the conventional market. And when we get a sell-off, at first, I don't think it's going to help the gold market. I think if we get a sell-off, it's going to be well into 2022. So that could be a little depressive effect on gold and silver. But also, they won't get hurt that bad because I think they've already had a good part of their sell-off, and we're going to get a little bit more. But I think it stabilizes then.
Well, Doc, one question that I just need to ask you, because I'm sure other people are wondering the same thing, is at what point will you feel comfortable scaling into some of the mining stocks with a little bit more, you know, of an aggressive position? I know that occasionally you nibble at a couple, and I know your philosophy is to buy on weakness, which is smart, you know, to accumulate the dips. But at what point, if you think that the metals price may take until next year or even 2023 before it really gets going, when will you start really, or what will you be looking for when you start adding a little bit more aggressively to mining stocks?
I will wait for the monthly on gold to move on the MACD toward a neutral position or a zero position on the MACD. We're a ways away from that. And the strength indicators are still decent, which is really encouraging because that tells me there's underlying strength for this market. It's signaling that don't be too concerned about this. But I will watch watch how the 12 and 26 month moving averages are performing. And as they move down, and I've said it before, I think we're going to be, I think it's going to be the first quarter of next year where we might finally get some stabilization. And there will come a point in time where I'll say personally that I'm getting really bullish for the first time. I did that back in 2019. I believe it was on June 12 point in time where Corey and I were having a discussion where I said finally after years that I was getting bullish for the first time. Well, a week later, gold market started to take off. And I'm going to, at some point in time when the technicals look pretty good to me, I'll be saying, hey, I'm starting to feel really bullish here.
Okay. Well, Doc, we'll follow up with you. Hopefully we get that comment sooner rather than later, but it sounds like we might need to wait until next year for that more bullish outlook and that all clear to buy. But hey, I know there's a number of people still trying to scale into some of these stocks as they are correcting. And I think these stocks are due for a bit of a bounce. Let's just see how sustainable that bounce can be. Doc, great chatting with you. Thanks for taking time on this weekend show. I'm sure we'll chat again in another couple weeks. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.